Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Keeping Bob Enyart live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000 watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
One morning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor, Denver Bible Church, and what a treat. It's not Monday.
No, but I told you maybe we could get together later in the week.
You did say that, Doug.
So and sure enough.
Here we are on Wednesday.
Yes, the stars aligned. And it just so happened that I wanted to come back because I need to talk to you about robots, aliens.
Drudge is obsessed and, with robots.
Well, not just Drudge.
Becoming sentient.
Yeah, maybe
well,
it
all
is.
These,
Drudge
all,
is.
Yeah, he's driving it because all these scientists know that if they say that computers will take over the world,
yeah,
they're going to get a Drudge headline.
That's true.
All they have to do is say that, and they'll get it automatically.
Maybe we
So Matt Drudge is the person driving the whole paranoia.
Well, I think you might be right.
The insanity.
Drudge has spent too much time underground.
That robots are going to
no
take over the world.
Light.
Now, it is very valid to warn our policymakers who are immoral, that we need to oppose autonomous weapon systems.
Oh, is that right? Okay, because that's one of the topics I picked up off the internet a few days ago.
Well, that's necessary. Just like the horrific video on YouTube of a drone, a cheap little drone shooting
a handgun. Yeah.
And the recoil, you can see it goes back about a foot and a half.
It was impressive video.
But that's against the law, of course. And that's all, you know, we said it on this show recently.
Yeah.
That the next nightmare are the drones.
Yeah, the drones.
Send in the drones.
The drones are coming in. And now, well, but before we get to aliens.
Into concerts, into ball games.
Yeah.
And to church
scary.
Services, to whatever.
Right. But they will not affect the Bob Enyart Live Telethon, where we're somewhere north of 16.5, I think. We're doing okay, but it's almost the end of the month.
It is.
We have so far fallen short. And I just want to remind
$30,000.
People, I recently communicated with a number of our listeners, and I told them, you may not realize it, but when we set the goal of 30,000, we don't just make that number up out of thin air. We actually need that money.
It's vitally important to help Bob Enyart Live.
Absolutely. And we need every bit of that $30,000 here in the month of July, if at all possible, because if we fall short, we actually fall short.
Right.
And come November, December, it can get difficult to pay the bills.
You know, I don't know what it would be like. It'd be like a taste of heaven to have a telethon end.
Yeah.
And we actually have, and we paid our current bills.
Yeah.
And we met our immediate demands, and we had like $3,000 left over.
That would be great.
We'd say, what
do we do with this? What? Plan for the future? Oh, wow.
It would be a stunning thing. So Bob Enyart Live hangs in there.
Yes.
But we hang in there on a shoestring budget.
Yes. And if you haven't given yet, and you've heard us talking about the telethon, the time is now. Is the month over yet? It's almost over.
Almost.
Right? Anyway,
the 29th.
This is the time is now to help us out here. It's almost the end of the month. Yeah. So we'll stop talking about it until the very
end
of the
show. We'll get to the news.
That's the one thing that drones, robots, they can't help us with the telethon. We need your help. So, but before I get to that, we didn't get a chance on Monday to talk about Kathleen Willey's anti-Hillary website.
Oh, yeah.
I love the name of it. It's called A Scandal a Day.
Scandaladay.com.
You can't beat that for a name. Whoever came up with that. They should get a bonus.
About Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, because the thing about Hillary is if you look back into her history, you could do that for quite some time, scandal a day. That could support a website for several years. Yeah. And Kathleen has decided.
She's one of the women who were sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the women who Hillary Clinton then would mock these victims of sexual harassment, sexual assault, even of rape.
Yeah.
Mocking them, calling them bimbo eruptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So her husband, executive privilege means to a liberal, that means that a Democrat in power can sexually assault women.
Yes.
And they have to just take it.
Yeah. And so this serve as a warning for all young ladies out there who want to become active in Democrat politics, is that you're putting yourself in danger when you intern or volunteer for a white, powerful male Democrat pro-abort.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself in danger. You should think twice about it. And now, Kathleen Willie probably wishes she had never volunteered.
She was a White House aide. Right, of course.
Yeah.
Now, she is about 22 years behind BEL.
A little bit.
Because part of her website, she's saying, if you have been sexually harassed or assaulted by Bill Clinton, please, send in your story.
She wants other women to tell their stories.
Now, in 1993, we were on the air, and we were collecting affidavits from women who were not sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton. And we were bundling them and sending them to the White House.
Right.
So Kathleen is about 20 years late, but she's...
Hey, she's making an effort.
Yeah.
And I know you have her personal email. I know that you have. You've interviewed her, I'm not mistaken.
We interviewed Kathleen. And in fact, with Drudge promoting this website as much as he did, Kathleen Willie's, we went ahead and sent her a reminder that it was 10 years ago, November 1st, that we interviewed Kathleen Willie.
That's right.
And on that interview page on our website, kgov.com, there's links to our exclusive interviews. These are rare media appearances by Juanita Broderick and by Norma Rogers, the nurse who found Juanita just minutes after Bill Clinton had raped her, sobbing in black and blue.
Yeah.
And so we have interviews with both Juanita and Norma and with Kathleen. And Kathleen Willie's website, she has a political cartoon on there she has a political cartoon on there with Juanita Broderick and Kathleen Willie and one of the other women that Bill Clinton sexually harassed. So, and Doug, I pointed out that WorldNet Daily has covered our interviews with these women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And WorldNet Daily reported on our first protest against Bill Clinton in 80 cities. You remember that?
Oh, do I remember that?
80 cities.
Yes.
And then we went to 140. We finally hit 145 cities.
That's right.
Protesting Bill Clinton for raping Juanita Broderick, including Auckland, New Zealand.
And
we'd follow him around.
The opening of the Bill Clinton Library and Massage Parlor.
Arkansas.
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah, the Bill Clinton Presidential Library, which is hanging over the riverbank, the Arkansas River.
It looks like a trailer.
It looks like a trailer
that fell off a truck
down at the river. And we asked them, why did they make it quite the way they did? It looks like it's not finished.
Yeah.
And they said, well, if Hillary gets elected, then we'll turn it into a double one. So it's a
fine Arkansas
a trailer
tradition.
Down by the river. I mean, it really looks bizarre.
Yeah, well,
it's supposed to be a bridge.
Oh, the bridge to the 21st
century. It's a bridge to nowhere. It literally is a bridge to nowhere.
And a fitting tribute to our first rapist president. I don't know that we've ever had a president that was credibly accused of rape.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever happened.
Right. So we pointed all this out to Kathleen, and she said, she's going to need material for her new website.
So you helped her out there.
So, well, we said, you'd be welcome to embed or link to these exclusive interviews with Juanita Broderick and Norma Rogers.
That's great.
Yeah. So we'll see if anything comes of all that.
Of course, I do find the website somewhat superfluous, as I have already stated that Hillary Clinton will not be the Democrat nominee in 2016. You can't win a popularity contest when everyone hates you. And everyone hates Hillary, especially at the DNC.
I thought you were going to say especially Bill. But, you know, she announced her global warming project.
She did.
Initiative.
Hillary did.
And hours later, she was videotaped getting on a French private aircraft in Iowa.
Yeah.
It burns 347 gallons of fuel per hour.
Wow.
An hour later. In fact, Doug, we're going to have the author of that well-publicized letter to the Pope on global warming on Real Science Radio.
Oh.
That's coming right up. I think middle of August will probably air.
Now, is this an advocate of global warming who helped the Pope write his encyclical predicting the end of the world and all that?
The Pope should be writing an encyclical or a unicycle. If the Pope thinks that there's global warming, he should stop going around town in that Pope mobile. I'll tell you that. Just like Hillary should stop flying around in private jets.
Yeah.
But at any rate, this is Calvin Beisner, and he is with the Cornwall Alliance. He authored this open letter that dozens of scientists signed, hundreds of people altogether.
Oh, neat.
And he's one of the world's leading experts against the global warming hype.
Oh, interesting.
And so a perfect guest for Real Science Radio. It'll be a great update. We haven't covered that topic in a couple years.
Yeah, that'll be good. You know, the Pope seems to always fall into a position where he ends up getting Christianity blamed for really stupid science.
Yeah.
You know, like I was debating an atheist who insisted that it was the church that promoted geocentrism. Well, he said Moses, and then it was the church. And I wonder if 150 years from now, when we all realize that global warming was just silliness,
they're going to blame the church.
They're going to blame the Catholics.
Just like they blame the Catholics for geocentrism, right?
Yeah. The flat earth, all of it.
And the church never supported a flat earth, of course.
No.
But on top of that, geocentrism came from Plato.
Hello.
From Plato.
Yes.
And from then other ancient philosophers and some scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And so the secular world adopted a geocentric worldview.
Yeah.
And the church gets blamed for it. The exact same thing is going to happen with Darwinism.
Yeah, there you go. Evolution
because the
will be
Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which is, by the way, is run by atheists.
Okay.
Which is so bizarre. How, and not just the current Pope Francis.
No.
But as far as I can tell, the Pope's going all the way back. You got a whole line of popes. You got popes all the way down.
Atheists in the court of the Pope for centuries.
Right. Now. You have, isn't it, first or second Peter? Peter said, I shall be thy Pope. You've got all these popes who they have this Pontifical Academy of Science, and they get atheists to run it.
Yeah. I don't.
It's just bizarre. And these atheists hate God.
Well,
that's why they're atheists. And so they buy into all this secular philosophy in the guise of science.
And then the church, well, it's just the Catholic Church, but it ends up reflecting badly on the entire body of Christ.
Yeah, right.
So, right. You know, I have in my debate with my atheist friend, not a real friend, a Facebook friend. That's the alternative to real friends. Yeah, Facebook friend.
Yeah.
He accused Moses of being a geocentrist.
Oh, brother.
And so I said, I'll give you the whole first five books if you can find one piece of evidence.
Well, there's places in Psalms where it says things like, the earth shall not be moved.
Okay.
But it also says that if you trust in the Lord, you shall not be moved. Right. So obviously it doesn't mean what these atheists want it to mean.
Well, anyway, I was just trying to get him to read the first five books of the Bible.
Good idea.
It was a trick.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll take me up on it or not. Hopefully he's searching right now.
Who's that? A bad astronomer with Discover Magazine. He made fun of Real Science Radio and Spike Pisaris because we use the word evolution when we talk about astronomy.
Right. I remember. I don't remember the guy's name because he's not memorable, but I remember the accusation.
Phil Platt.
Could be.
The bad astronomer.
The bad astronomer.
Yeah, that's what he calls himself.
Oh, he does. Okay.
So anyway, so Spike Pisaris, who made these fabulous astronomy DVDs that we sell, two of them, he posted the covers of 9 texts, current textbooks on astronomy, that had the word evolution in their titles. And he said the current, you know, the world's leading journal on astrophysics has the word evolution in the titles of 3 papers.
Right.
The current issue. I mean, they've used the word evolution millions of times. But when a creationist uses it for astronomy, you know, the evolution of planets, the evolution of stars.
I've been hearing about that since sixth grade, Bob.
They pretend to be outraged and show how ignorant we are.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a bad astronomer in more ways than one.
Yes.
All right. So we've covered Hillary. We've covered Kathleen Willey, who we thank for her website. And we hope that she'll
A scandal a day.
Hopefully she'll link to some of the materials that I mean, this is historical archive. This is a primary source historical record here.
Yeah.
So very valuable. It's nice of you to offer that.
And when Little Rock was one of the 145 cities we went to, exposing the evidence that Bill Clinton is a rapist.
Yeah.
When the opening of his library.
Mm-hmm.
The state historian, the official historian for the state of Arkansas, came to me and said, Mr. Enyar, could I get one of your yellow flyers? They've been all over the news. I want to include it in the official record of the opening of the Clinton Library.
Wow.
So we got him one of
those. Talk about historical significance. Somebody's probably got that in glass at the museum somewhere
The big library, the big dictionary is permanently open to the entry for the definition of the word is.
The book at the beginning?
Yeah, in the Clinton Library. Depends on what the meaning of the word is.
Interesting.
He's the first one to talk about the problems with ISIS.
Yes.
Only he pronounced it is.
Is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Talk about historical. Yeah. Now let's go out to space.
Hysterical.
Because Stephen Hawking has joined the search for intelligent life beyond this earthly realm. They've been funded by a Russian billionaire, Professor Matthew Bales, joining Stephen Hawking.
They're true believers, these guys. You got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
They really do believe in aliens.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're looking.
Right.
They're gearing up now. They're going to start looking for aliens, but they're warning us that if they find aliens, they're thinking we probably shouldn't make contact with them.
Now, wait.
You haven't heard the best part.
Yeah.
They're offering $1 million prize to whoever comes up with the best message to send to the alien civilization when we find them.
Oh.
So they have a contest. But now there's
we need to enter the contest.
We should enter.
Doug.
Let's
and
get
Bob.
In on it.
Bob and your live. Fred Williams.
Yes.
Real Science Radio. We got it.
Okay.
Multiple entries.
We're going to do entries.
Yes.
But wait, there's a caveat. There's some internal turmoil amongst the scientists because they're saying, wait, if we find these aliens, we're afraid we probably shouldn't try to communicate with them.
Well, Stephen Hawking, you know, he's paranoid.
He's a little paranoid.
He doesn't know God.
No.
So he's afraid of aliens. I mean, he's come out right out and said it.
Yes, he has.
He was afraid of the Higgs boson.
Yeah.
He's afraid of global warming.
Yeah.
He's afraid of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is scared to death.
He's
going to die.
Yes, he's in a constant state of fear.
So one day you'll meet your maker, and it is sort of wise to be afraid.
Oh, that he should be afraid of extraterrestrial life, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because when he meets him.
Michael, Gabriel,
Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe.
Coming back, not as a babe in a manger, but with a sword.
Right, so Stephen has every cause to be afraid.
Yeah, and Stephen Hawking is a lunatic.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just flat out a lunatic.
Yeah, he is. Now, Bob, I've said on the air publicly for years that I'm convinced there is no other life in the entire universe. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some evidence in Genesis that there's no other life.
Hmm.
I think. And it comes back to the day 4 problem. Or is it the day 3 problem? Where was the light for the plants, right?
Yeah.
Is that the day 3 problem or the day 4 problem?
Well, God made the sun on day 4 and the plants on day 3.
So how did the plants get light on day 3? So we have a theory about that.
Well, but there was, as you pointed out to your friend who's not a friend.
Yeah, my Facebook
friend. The Bible says there was light on day 1.
Yeah, I said, hey, he had the light.
He said the plants would have died. Well, the first thing is let there be light, and there was light. So there was plenty of light.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if any particular person can't figure out where the light came from, that's their problem.
Right.
I mean, exactly. God said, let there be light, and there was light.
So I told him, I said, look, on day 2, God created the crust of the earth. Mm. And that must have been a big job because it took him all day. I mean, can you imagine something that takes God all day? That's a big job.
Well, and it said, and let the dry land appear.
Right.
And so God was allowing the laws of physics to settle the crust into the water beneath.
Yes.
It separated the waters above from the waters below.
Right.
And they may have been as deep as 60 miles below the crust. And when all that settled out, as parts of the crust dipped down to touch the floor of the chamber, there were depressions in the surface where the waters gathered and let the dry land appear.
Exactly. Again, it seems to me, because it says at the very beginning that the evening and the morning were the first day. So it seems to me that the earth was spherical and spinning before the end of day one.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems on day two that the creator was focused exclusively on this particular globe. In fact, he keeps time by
it. It was God's focus, right.
So I don't see any evidence that he was focused on other worlds.
Other than when the fountains of the great deep ejected all the debris that's pockmarked the solar system.
Yeah.
That there certainly could be bacteria.
Yeah, well, that's true. There could have been something escaped from Earth.
Yeah. In fact, there's evidence of that. You know, we've talked about the biological matter in space.
Yes.
And remember they were cleaning the space station? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was so cool.
And the Russian cosmonauts, they get the job, you know.
Right. Give
go out
the
and
mop.
Clean the windows. So they're squeegeeing the windows of the space station outside in their spacesuits. And they collected sea plankton.
Wow.
Sea plankton.
That's a mind blower right there.
This is a mind blower.
I mean,
and other than that, that's just the most recent example of potential, you know, life in space because of the flood.
Yeah.
But we have collected diatoms from way up in the upper atmosphere above where we've collected diatoms from way up in the upper atmosphere, and they look really different than diatoms that grow on the surface of the Earth because they're elongated. Mm. And they could have grown in comets or even meteors for a while when they were still hot in zero gravity.
Oh, wow.
And because they're growing in zero gravity, they're just different.
Yeah.
They're really interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
So I suppose I should amend my statement that we will not find intelligent life or any other civilization.
Intelligent life, no civilization.
We will not find another planet, no matter how long we look, that will sustain life. I'm sorry.
Well,
we're not going to find it.
Yeah. God made the earth as a place for human beings to dwell.
Special.
Plant life, animal kingdom. They just did find a planet that they say is the closest yet to Earth, and they've got about 2,000 planets now. But God knows that free will, moral agents,
right?
Free will agents could turn against him. And if they do, then they'll be separated from God forever unless he saves them. Oh. And to save mankind, God the Son had to become a man and to sacrifice his life for us. And God the Son is not going to put the Father through that kind of grief over and over and over.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of it that way. But.
Well, because the book of Hebrews says that Jesus died once, never to die again.
That's right.
So if there were civilizations on other planets around stars in the galaxy or in other galaxies, then God would have to just abandon them, or Jesus would have to be perpetually sacrificed.
Mm.
And that's simply not what the Father will allow for the Son, according to the scriptures.
Now, what if there was a civilization that never fell?
Well, then they would not have to be saved.
So that would.
But if they have freedom, if they're able to love, love requires the ability to hate.
This is true.
And so there would always be that potential that they would fall.
Ah, so even the potential mitigates against the idea that there would be any other intelligent civilizations or people, persons, right?
Right.
That's what they're looking for. Stephen Hawking is looking for people out there.
And they're not going to find them.
He's terrified.
I told Lawrence Krauss that Neanderthals were people. And he said, what are people?
I never heard any such a word. What does that mean,
What is a problem? What is evidence? Atheists say the darndest things.
Indeed, they do.
Now, so we have those topics on our website, kgov.com/ biological material in space.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we have atheists say the darndest things.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's really pretty funny.
Oh, can I? I got a couple things here real quick.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, Breitbart's been running their talk with one of the 19 kids and counting. Every day they have one of the 19 kids.
Yeah, the Republican field.
Yeah. And Monday was Ask Carly Fiorina Day, right? And so one of the Breitbart readers asked Carly, that's the name of it, Ask Carly.
Yeah.
She asked Carly, I have one simple question. Is it the right of a woman to decide to terminate a pregnancy at any time?
I despise that question.
Mm.
What do you think about that question?
Well, I circled at any time because I found it offensive.
That's a scam, that question.
Yeah. Well, now I want to make clear that Carly answered no. Okay, so we'll give Carly that.
Well, I'm not going to give her anything.
She
unless she clarified and said it's wrong to kill a baby at any time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she did not do that. One word answer.
That question gave her, there's a loophole that you could drive a bus through.
Yes.
In fact, like Roe v. Wade, a bus filled with dead children every day. That's how big Carly's loophole was.
Yeah, I think this is evidence of a orchestrated effort to change the definition of pro-life, something that you've been warning about for a decade, maybe 15 years. Well, it's here, Bob. We are in the brave new world with Newspeak, and it's just...
So, are you against killing babies at any time? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you're pro-life. Well, do you advocate abortion, pro-choice? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they're pro-choice, but they're against killing babies at any time.
Right.
So was Roe v. Wade.
That's
right. Roe v. Wade said that the states could ban abortion late term.
That's right.
So Carly could be just as pro-abort as Roe v. Wade with that answer.
And labeled as pro-life by Breitbart and other.
And that pig on Fox News.
Yeah.
The pig.
Okay.
Megyn Kelly.
Take it easy. Yeah, I agree.
Pig.
Yeah, I know.
She is featured in this really neat video that a young Christian gal put together, a highlights of the Planned Parenthood baby parts.
Oh, yes.
A montage.
Yeah, that monstrous scam.
But one terrible part of that little montage is it shows Megyn Kelly railing against Planned Parenthood for this.
Sure.
And saying, these are potential lives.
Oh, is that what
you're treating these potential lives with disrespect? And
wow.
Megyn Kelly is a child killer.
She's a pro-abort.
She's a child killer.
Yeah.
She's a pro-sodomite child killer.
And she's America's favorite conservative newswoman.
Yeah, that's where we have sunk.
That's how bad it's gotten. And that's why we need to keep Bob Enyart Live on the air for another year, folks. We only need like maybe 15,000. It's not even that much. Who else is going to say these things? You're not going to hear this anywhere else.
Megyn Kelly needs to hear that she is an enemy of the child. She's an enemy of marriage.
Yeah.
She's an enemy of God.
Mm. Yeah.
Just like Bill O'Reilly needs to hear that he's an enemy of Jesus Christ.
Yes. He's not the foremost authority on Jesus' life.
Oh, no. A caller called in to disagree with his killing Jesus.
Yeah.
And he mocked the caller because the caller was saying, well, the Bible disagrees with your book.
Yeah.
And O'Reilly was saying, look, we're the ones who did the research. We are the authority.
Oh, boy.
I am the authority, not God.
We never needed Bob Enyart Live more, folks. Go to kgov.com. Help us with the telethon.
God bless you guys.